This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg.
Now the People's Summit, a way forward for people's power.
So you couldn't attend the People's Summit. Well, that's why we're providing a report back on the historic convening of organizations and individuals committed to social, racial, and economic justice. 3,000 people gathered in Chicago committed to a people's agenda that can enhance and expand issues, campaigns, and hold all elected officials accountable to popular demands for justice, equality, and freedom.
Later on, we'll talk with Winnie Wong, founder of People for Bernie and an organizer for the People's Summit. But first up will be Roseanne DeMauro, executive director of the National Nurses United, a major convener of the People's Summit.
The summit envisioned a deepening relationship between participating organizations rooted in principled anti-corporate politics and development of community leaders and direct action not based on partisan identification and strategic organizing to build power. That is a heck of an agenda. So tell us the inspiration, Roseanne, for putting this together. What was the glue that kind of bound all of these numerous messages and disparate groups? And thanks for putting together this phenomenal weekend experience.
Thanks so much for having me on. The nurses organization knew that when we got to the end of the primaries, we knew, you know, we had come off of some really kind of major movements, right? So you had Occupy, the climate marches, obviously, the labor frustration and all the hits there with trade, immigration rights, the litany goes on. And if I miss anyone, oh, LGBT, I mean, just the movements were there, right? And so the question is, how do you adhere these movements to actually have an agenda for the next administration? Bernie Sanders actually, all the press believes this, but it actually wasn't the case. This was not initially thought of by us. However, there was no one in history that could have brought all of these issues to light. Never seen anything like it than Bernie, and then the subsequent frustrations and deceptions. And it was just, you know, it all bubbled up. And so the magnitude of which we would plan this was far greater because of the Sanders campaign and the corruption of the DNC. I mean, it came together like magic. And I think there was a lot of residual sadness about the fact that, once again, the sector of Wall Street, if you will, had basically taken our voice away and denying Bernie Sanders, you know, through the various dirty tricks and kind of machinations of the press and everything that they did to deny Bernie the opportunity to go as a contender, even though he's still candy, to the convention. So people were somewhat, I wouldn't say demoralized, but I would say sad. And I think that was kind of evident on Friday night. I could feel it was kind of palpable, and people gave voice to that and expressed that. But by the time we got into Saturday, it was just the entire 3,000 people, over 3,000 people, actually. And it shifted into planning and figuring out, you know, ways to agitate and ways to connect and ways to pathway forward to the future. And it was everywhere. And so there was no, since we were the major convener of this, I can say honestly, because I know, there was no political framework that we were going to put on in terms of expectations. We wanted people to kind of come together. And we knew that there could be an environment free of jargon, free of agitation, but people, where people could come and talk about their political concerns there, that we had the access of building something. And it was beyond anything I've experienced in terms of who was there. They were hurting because of what happened to Bernie. It was just this culmination of frustration that turned to energy. The bandwidth of that meeting was enormous. So there was 100 million impressions on social media, and that does not include Facebook. Over 100 million impressions. People were following this, you know, in Japan. People were following this internationally. Obviously, I'm sure the Clinton people were following it, but it was what was needed. And in terms of Bernie, you know, if we would have asked Bernie to Skype in, I'm sure that he would have done that. But I think that we just took off in our own kind of the movement. It just gelled. I mean, it gelled in the workshops. And the other thing is just, so the program was, just in a nutshell here, so we had plenaries, And then we had breakout workshops, and they ranged from, Robin Hood tax to taking on Krugman to democracy CD training. They were overflowing. They were packed, and they were pitched at a very high level in terms of political education. They were so well attended. And then following that, and the plenary speakers, and then these stories from just of everyday people talking about their struggles. So we had a plenary with those throughout the session, so people could connect up their own struggles with other people. And then we had this talent from the film industry and from musicians who volunteered their time to come and perform. And it was extremely moving.
Roseanne, I wanted to bring this forward so that we can talk about what the next step is in the Democratic Convention and perhaps floor fights over the agenda there and over the platform and what happens after that.
Right. I think that's really important. Well, the first thing is, what's clear in terms of kind of following the... I get to follow closely, obviously, because of the position I'm in, but what's going to happen there is that they're going to use a lot of progressive legislators to try to chill the group out on their issues. I mean, that's coming. And I think they've completely underestimated this movement. I mean, the people who stayed with Bernie, I think a lot of people went to Bernie because their organization was on an organizational level because they were forced to. I don't think that was easy because everyone assumed at the kind of the structural level of organizations that the country wasn't ready for the message that Bernie was speaking. And Bernie got out there, and it was an implosion. He became an icon overnight, right? And so it actually was kind of, in organizational terms, bottom up. The people of organizations forced the organizations to endorse Bernie or to support Bernie. What's going to happen at the DNC, which I find this is the most critical point from my perspective, and then I'll talk about the actions, but the DNC is going to try to undo all of that. They're going to try to, at the convention, they're going to try to make people assume that everything's okay, that the DNC has control of everything. We hear your issues. It's going to be patronizing, and I think they've underestimated, from what I know about the base of Bernie and the base of our movements that predated Bernie, we're done with that message. We want to see action. We want to see single payer. We want to see workers' rights. We want to see climate change addressed in a profound way, not lip service. We want a Wall Street transaction tax. We want all of these things, obviously. And that's what a society is based upon. Our demands, and the Sanders demands, weren't radical. I mean, a lot of the groups in the People's Summit think that it didn't go far enough, and I'm inclined to agree on some levels in terms of taking over the commons and all of that. I mean, our society, our country has been ripped away from us, and we really, I think the resonating voice is we want our country back, or we want our country. And so I think the DNC is going to be a lot of outside. I think thousands of people are going to come there. I know there's a CD action planned on the outside. I don't know about the inside yet. But we're going to try to force issues through and rules changes at the convention. The rules changes would be from opening up in terms of the horrors of what happened in New York, opening up the primaries for independents, to getting rid of superdelegates. And then on the platform side, which is non-binding, critical thing to remember because they can say anything and not do it, so we have to stay organized, try to get things addressed that are in all of the movements, I'd have to say. They span all of the movements. And, that the committee is stacked against us and the convention stacked against us. We know that going in. So I don't think that we're assuming that the DNC is going to roll over. I do think, however, and I will say this because I get to interact with them in a variety of ways, but they are fearful of this movement. It is palpable. I had to address them the other day on single payer. I got to because Bernie insisted upon it because they kept me off the committee, which was quite a compliment,
actually.
Yeah,
please talk a little bit more about that, the committee that you were kept off of.
That's the platform committee, right?
Well, pardon me? The drafting committee of the platform for the, yes. So there's 15 people who draft the basically the document that really matters there, I suspect. I know. So the DNC has five, Clinton has five or six, I believe. So there's more. And Bernie had five. He really wanted me on there because single payer is just one of his threshold issues. The DNC told Bernie directly that, and Bernie talks about it, that they didn't want me on the committee because I was from labor. Now, if you want, just on if you want to know how badly the DNC has drifted from its origins, that statement in and of itself, that they thought that was a credible statement, says it all, that labor is not welcome. But in reality, it's me, because I'm uncompromising on our issues. I've got the luxury of working for the
nurses.
Can
I just interrupt to ask you, so you're suggesting or saying that there is no person from organized labor, much less the head of a major union such as yours, that is on the platform committee?
Oh, no. Actually, Clinton has someone in the platform committee. Paul Booth from AFSCME is on the platform committee. So that was deception, too. So ultimately, it was about single payer. So when it came to the meeting this week, the Bernie Sanders staff insisted that I testify. And it became extremely contentious. And I felt in that contention the power of this movement, because ultimately I thought what they were trying to do was to make me agree that the ACA had gone far enough. But other people listening thought that they were trying to get me to say that the Democrats work hard enough for us. And I wouldn't concede that point. Actually, it's online. You can listen to it. But I would not concede that point, and I will not concede that point, because ultimately our campaigns for the last so many years have been, we're not the Republicans, and that's good enough. And that's the campaign we find ourselves in right now with Trump, which is troubling. So none of our issues really, I believe that Bernie's going to go to the convention. He's going to fight, and we're going to be there with him. And I think all the delegates are going to raise their voices inside, not including Bernie. But ultimately, the DNC isn't what matters. And that, it's another moment, it's another gathering for us and for the movement to basically continue to gel and move forward. I have zero expectations that the DNC is going to win anyone over, and zero expectations that they're going to do the right thing, because it conflicts with their major funders, which is, you know, Wall Street, basically.
Well, I'm afraid, Rosanda Mora, we're going to have to leave it there with perhaps your last words at the conference, which were, stay connected, we're building a new world. We have been speaking with Roseanne DeMauro, Executive Director of National Nurses Union. We're going to hear a lot more about their activity. Thank you for the work that you've done, and we're going to stay closely connected. People for Bernie co-founder Winnie Wong, one of the former Occupy Wall Street activists who helped draft Bernie Sanders to run, founder of the online group People for Bernie, and who helped organize the summit alongside the National Nurses United, a frequent consultant as well within National Nurses United, now joins us. And Winnie Wong, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Winnie, as a convener of the People's Summit, along with the National Nurses United, how do you assess the energy and aspirations that drew 3,000 people from across the country to Chicago?
Well, I think the summit was a huge success. The space was populated with activists of all stripes who came together to discuss what's next, what's possible, what they've experienced over the past year, over the past, you know, decades. And everyone is filled with optimism, and we're ready to continue to organize in these next months toward justice.
A number of the participants that I've spoken to, and there have been many, suggested that after coming off of the bloody, painful experiences of the political violence with Orlando and the murder of legislator Joe Cox in Great Britain, that it was absolutely fitting that the summit had been convened by nurses, by caregivers, because people felt so bruised. The summit became, for many of them, a space for healing and hope, among other things.
That's right. The overall tone of the conference was extremely healing and cathartic and very process-oriented for folks, you know, many of whom have been in these fights for many years now. And also, it really illustrates how possible it is in American democracy that these spaces can exist. So, yes, it was wonderful for that.
Then I would certainly suggest that the summit was energizing. And the question becomes, what does the summit really energize people to do in its aftermath? I mean, participant Naomi Klein suggested it was very much the connective tissue of the movements that was what the conference was all about. Concretely, what does it stimulate people to do?
There wasn't just one conversation that emerged out of the conference. There were, you know, 1,000 conversations. For folks who are interested in, you know, continuing to organize in their communities or around their issue fights, those conversations were happening. For folks who are interested in answering Bernie's call to run for local office, those conversations were also happening. For folks who were interested in organizing to make sure that we show a strong force at the Democratic National Convention next month in Philadelphia, those conversations were happening. So there were really lots of conversations happening all at once in the space. And I think what's most important is that people are committed to organizing and they are going to continue to organize around the issues that they care most about.
Jeff Cohn, director of the Park Center for Independent Media, had emailed me that the campaign for Bernie was not a defeat, that it was not an end, but a kind of big acceleration of movements that existed pre-Feel the Burns, such as Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter and the Fight for 15, and that indeed it would lead to all sorts of progressive electoral interventions in the coming years. Is that your assessment?
I think one of the greatest successes of the Bernie Sanders campaign, as well as the movement behind it that we're, you know, working hard to expand, is that he managed to electrify a new generation of folks who to engage in the political process, right? So you have all these young people who are energized now and who are interested in electoral politics for the first time. That is very significant. It's also important to remember that he has managed to insert the ideology of democratic socialism into the mainstream. So this is also a huge achievement. If you think about it, prior to the Bernie Sanders campaign, the word socialism had not really been used so frequently, if at all, in the mainstream narrative. And now it's a word that people are not afraid of, that they don't flinch at. And the reality is over 12 million people elected a democratic socialist, and many more million people across this country are talking about it still, because it's not over yet. And so this is a huge achievement, and it would not have been possible if people hadn't organized to make this a reality. So, huge success.
Roseanne DeMauro, the executive director of National Nurses United, who provided substantial support for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, actually spoke to the Democratic Platform Committee recently, during which she advocated for a single-payer universal health care system in the United States. But she was really soundly lambasted by several of the members of the Platform Committee. She related the story when she spoke at the People's Summit. What role do you see for the Bernie supporters inside the upcoming Democratic National Convention, and particularly in influencing the planks in the platform? And of course, how does one essentialize which planks one is going to try to have a role in? For me, it's certainly single payer would be one fundamental one, but I'm interested in people who attended the summit and what their thoughts are within the context of the DNC.
Well, not having single payer health care in this country is cruel. Frankly, we're the wealthiest country in the world, and we're one of the few countries that don't have single-payer health care. When you think about it, and Bernie makes this point in his stump speeches, when countries like China have single-payer health care and we don't, there's something really wrong with the system. So National Nurses United and Roseanne Morrow have been at the front of this fight for many years now, and right now we're at a moment where everyone in this country is talking about it. We have to do better than ACA, and we're going to continue to fight for it. And we're going to fight for it both inside and outside of the convention. So I know that the nurses have a delegation of almost 100 elected delegates. And what remains a fact is that, you know, millions of Americans across the country are without health care. And those who have health care, it's not enough. So those folks are going to be, you know, fighting for it as well. This isn't a sideline issue. This is a major issue.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Roseanne DeMauro had been proposed by Senator Sanders as a member of the Democratic Platform Drafting Committee, and she was vetoed by the Democratic National Committee on the pretext of restricting union voices in the DNC policy bodies. Actually, there's precisely one person from organized labor who's a Hillary person on the committee, and that is someone from AFSCME. So where this takes me, aside from the issue of universal health care, a single-payer system, is in what ways do People for Bernie and folks who came out of the summit see effectuating, whether it's a question of the rules that stacked the nomination towards Hillary Clinton, or whether it is the substantive issues to mobilize around? Is there a specific contemplated role on the floor in the DNC that people see to influence the process of trying to get progressive planks into the platform?
I think the other folks who have been elected to the drafting committee are all champions of single-payer health care, right? So, of course, they're going to be advocating for it inside. And I think, you know, all of the 1,900, you know, Bernie delegates who are going are all in support of single-payer health care. So their voices will be heard loud and clear. Personally, I think not including Roseanne in the drafting committee is a huge mistake and likely a deliberate decision, because she is the strongest and a very powerful voice behind this issue. And perhaps they are not ready to answer her call, which is really a call that millions of Americans are, you know, making now. But her not being included into the drafting committee doesn't at all mean that the folks on the outside and on the inside aren't going to fight for it and fight for it vocally. I mean, and also really beyond the convention, the fight for single-payer health care will continue. We are going to be working with National Nurses United for a very long time, and it's really a great honor to work with such a radical and progressive union. To have their support and their allyship has really been tremendous for movement organizers. What we saw this weekend is testament to that.
Now, it's been speculated that the Democratic National Committee plans to offer a concession to Senator Bernie Sanders, which are seats on a key convention platform committee. And even if that were to come to pass, would that be enough to stop Sanders from protesting various others of the party's policy positions? And do people who came out of these summit and People for Bernie want there to be a broader protest, both as to the rules and other positions to be raised at the Democratic National Committee convention and included in the planks?
Bernie will eventually make a decision, but his decision isn't necessarily one and the same of the decision of the mm-hmm. people, right? So, I mean, I think this is a very important distinction. Folks are going to continue to organize and protest around the issues that they care about, and this is not going to stop. This is just going to grow stronger. And this is something that, like, the Democratic National Committee cannot control. Well-organized people win fights, and this is where we're at this moment in our movement. We're actually at a place where first-time organizers are starting to develop their chops and becoming, you know, more certain of the work that they're doing and also committing to this path of organizing. And of course, more seasoned organizers are at a moment in this movement where they are realizing what's possible and what this could look like if they choose to run for elected office or if they choose to take it to the next level. So this is really an important distinction. Of course, folks who attended the summit are going to fall in line behind Bernie, but it doesn't mean that they're going to stop organizing or protesting, you know, on the streets or not on the streets to
right.
fight for their issues that they care about. This isn't the end. It just means that protest becomes more organized and the social movement grows bigger, because politicians they must be held accountable by the people, and well-organized people constitutes a social movement.
Do you see any challenge to the leadership of Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz as part of what the efforts of People for Bernie, progressives who will be inside the hallowed halls of the convention? Is that something that's kind of been agenderized?
I think the call for the removal of Debbie Wasserman Schultz has really not been diminished at all. I mean, I think that there was a very loud and vocal call for her removal. There are several online petitions that are circulating that folks in the Bernie movement are behind and in support of. And I think that Tim Canova in Florida is continuing his campaign to beat her in the race. Even if she doesn't step down, I think she's demonstrated very poor leadership through this election season. And I think that the efforts to remove her will continue long after the convention is over. So she's not emerging out of this unscathed. It really just depends on how much of an organized effort there will be after the convention. I mean, she has demonstrated terrible leadership, and people won't forget this.
Did the People Summit influence or cohere around a specific strategy regarding the substance of the protest of those gathering outside of the restricted halls of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia?
Within the program, which I did put together along with a number of other folks and a planning committee, including Michael Whitey, who's the policy director of the union, we did include a direct action training led by the trainers from Democracy Spring, and it was very well attended. And I think the training itself was really designed to get folks to learn more broadly what direct action looks like, what nonviolent civil disobedience looks like. But it wasn't specifically a training created for the purposes of civil disobedience outside the DNC. It was more general. Direct action training was called Direct Action 101. It was very well attended. You know, we received a lot of national press around the training. I mean, I think it helped to have Rosario Dawson in the training. She led a chant. And so, yeah, I mean, but nothing specific. There wasn't like, you know, a secret meeting of activists who are planning to take over the DNC. That did not happen, at least to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't everywhere.
Yeah, we should probably make note of that for police surveillance in any event.
I'm pretty sure, though, that folks who, you know, are planning on any kind of CD, a civil disobedience, are folks who are going to do so in a very, very, very peaceful way.
What you're clearly saying, though, is, you know, the people who feel the burn and the Bernie Sanders revolution, if you will, is not going to go gently into that good night. In fact, people are executing an intricate endgame to the Democratic primary and the 12 million voters who he inspired, you're certainly suggesting, have and will have a collective role to play post the convention?
Well, yes, because, you know, 12 million voters isn't the 130 million that voted in the last general. We have 80 million more voters to engage and activate. So, yes, I mean, to answer your question, yes, we have a lot of organizing to do, a lot of work to do.
I also want to ask you how important it is, in your opinion, that organized labor, that National Nurses United, took a fundamental role, which is something we haven't seen very often in the past years, that organized labor comes into a people's summit to develop a progressive people's agenda and operates seemingly out of the bread and butter issues of their union structure to a much broader political role for labor.
The union is extremely progressive. Their nurses are always on strike, and there's a reason for it, because if you don't strike, you're not going to get what you need, really. And they have run very successful campaigns. You know, their Main Street campaign and Robinson tax campaign, and then their healthcare campaign have been very successful campaigns. And their organizers are some of the best organizers I've ever.
You know, Winnie, I just realized time is getting away from us. We're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Winnie Wong, who is with Bernie's for Sanders and one of the organizers of the People. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.